This is the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show on AM 560, FM 96.5, HD2 The Joe, WQAM, and streaming on radio.com and the radio.com app.
Welcome in to the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show. I am Alejandro Solana here on 560 The Joe, WQAM. We got a big one today. Dolphins, Seahawks here at Hard Rock Stadium. About 13,000 fans are going to be on board today for this Dolphins matchup. They're looking to get their second straight victory of the season. It's going to be a real tough one, though. You have Russell Wilson, my favorite to win MVP this season. We're going to talk a lot about Russell Wilson today, I'm sure. And a very good Seattle Seahawks team coming in to Miami Gardens here at Hard Rock Stadium. This is the Dolphins Rewind Show every Sunday on 560 The Joe, WQAM, 8 a.m. And it leads you right into the Miami Dolphins pregame show, which begins here on 560 The Joe every time the Dolphins play at 1 at 9 a.m. with Chris Whittingham and Channing Crowder. I'm your host of Dolphins Rewind, Alejandro Solana, once again. Feel free to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Alex M. Solana if you want to talk some football on there. I am always down. Dolphins Rewind is driven by Ed Morse. You can get backed by Morse and save thousands. Visit edmorsesawgrass.com for more information. If the audio quality doesn't sound as great or as it usually does on Dolphins Rewind, I apologize. I'm recording from my house today. I am not in studio. So, it doesn't sound as good, but these are the times now. Couldn't make it into the studio today. And I got the home setup, which I'm actually kind of excited about. I got to roll out of bed and I'm in my boxers. I'm doing my show like some of the on-air talent has gotten so used to during the times, during the quarantine, during the pandemic. And by the way, speaking of the quarantine and the pandemic and COVID-19 and coronavirus, we know, there's a lot going on with coronavirus still. And it's impacting the NFL. We will get to that later today as well. But let's look at our Seahawks matchup. Miami Dolphins, Seahawks play today 1 p.m. again at Hard Rock Stadium. Miami, look, they're 1-2. We know they lost week one to New England. It was not a good opening week for the Miami Dolphins and Brian Flores and Ryan Fitzpatrick. But things are trending upwards, right? Second week, home opener, they lose to Buffalo, but a much better performance offensively from this Miami Dolphins team. You lose Byron Jones in that game, and Josh Allen torches you. He throws the ball anywhere. He was doing basically anything he wanted to do. And it was a very tough, tough home opener for the Dolphins. They lose to Buffalo. But again, offensively, you saw a much more cohesive unit out there led by your 17-year veteran, Ryan Fitzpatrick. And then on Thursday Night Football, the Dolphins get a little mini bye week going into today because they play Thursday Night Football about 2 weeks ago. They beat Jacksonville very convincingly. It was all around a great team win for this Miami Dolphins. And again, offensively, you come out, you start out three consecutive scoring drives to start the game. That is incredible for this Miami Dolphins team. And if you're going to want to have a chance to beat Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks, who we know they don't struggle to put up points on the board, okay, offensively, what this Miami Dolphins team is going to see today on the defensive side of the football is, arguably the best offense in the league. And you want to see that. You want to see this team come out three straight scoring drives against Jacksonville. I'm not sure that can be sustained, three consecutive scoring drives to start every game, but if you can get out and early, put the foot on the pedal and score some points, especially today, that's going to be huge moving forward for Ryan Fitzpatrick and this Miami Dolphins football team. As for Seattle, they're 3-0. Look, this is arguably the standard of the NFL, and we're going to talk about their defense. I know it hasn't been great. It's actually been really bad, Seattle's defense this year, and they're banged up. A bunch of their players are going to be out today. We'll get to the injury report later. But as far as Seattle this season, again, they're 3-0. They have wins against Atlanta. They beat New England on Sunday Night Football. And, Russell Wilson went toe-to-toe with Cam Newton. And as he typically does against everybody, he got the best of that team late in the game when it mattered most. And on top of that, they go out last week and they beat a Dallas Cowboys team, which I wouldn't say is great. I don't think Dallas is as great as most people expect them to be every single season. But still, Dallas Cowboys, a very good football team. One thing I think that's important to point out is Seattle does an amazing job at winning close games. Late in the fourth quarter, when the game is on the line, whether they're down a touchdown, whether they're down 3 points, whether they need a late scoring drive, or they're up a couple points and they need to cement a lead, put a game away, this is when the Seattle Seahawks, led by Russell Wilson, I told you, you're going to hear a lot about Russell Wilson, this is where they really excel offensively as a team, as a unit. There is arguably no better team in late game scenarios than the Seattle Seahawks. Just this season, only through a 3-week sample size, they beat the Cowboys 38-31. That's a close game, a 7-point advantage. Late in the game, they go out and they win. And they also beat the Patriots on Sunday Night Football. Week 2 was the same story. Cam Newton drives down the field, takes the lead, and then here comes Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks, and they did what needed to be done. They win the game. So for your Miami Dolphins, we talked about 3 straight scoring drives to start a game, right? Putting the pedal on the metal, getting out to an early start, a strong early start. That's going to be huge today, because if you're asking Ryan Fitzpatrick, who, by the way, we have some Ryan Fitzpatrick stats, okay? We have some really good ones. According to ESPN's QBR, he is coming into week 4 against the Seahawks as the league's 5th-ranked quarterback, which is really good. You're getting great production out of Fitz. A lot more than possibly you would have wanted to ask from him going into this season, okay? Through week 3, especially considering how he looked in week 1, it looked like we would be getting Tua Tagovailoa much quicker after that week 1 performance in Foxborough. But look, week 2, he plays really well. You see some improvement offensively. You got Devontae Parker back, Preston Williams, right? And then week 3 in Jacksonville, it was the Ryan Fitzpatrick show. We talked about it last week on Dolphins Rewind. You got the full Fitzmagic experience. He comes out in the shirt, unbuttoned all the way down, so all his chest hairs popping out. You have his beard stunting on national TV on Thursday Night Football after the win. Like, you got the full Fitzmagic experience. But if you're asking Ryan Fitzpatrick to go out and duel against Russell Wilson late in the fourth quarter, as much as I want to believe in Fitzpatrick, as much as I want to believe that this Dolphins team can produce big results when it matters late in the game, they haven't shown us that they can do that, and they certainly will not be favored to win a close late game against this Seattle Seahawks team led by Russell Wilson. In my opinion, the most clutch quarterback, the most clutch player, arguably, in the NFL as it stands right now in late game situations. So let's get into today's matchup with the Seattle Seahawks. We'll talk some more Russell Wilson later on in the show. We'll even have your Tua Tagovailoa update as well. And we'll talk with Zach Duarte and Zach Krantz later on in the show. 1 p.m. kickoff today from Hard Rock Stadium, coming up at 9. Again, Chris Whittingham, Channing Crowder with the Miami Dolphins pregame show. I'm just looking at the weather really quickly here, because we know in South Florida, weather plays a big part. I know yesterday it was just a super ugly, muggy day all across South Florida. And I'm in Kendall right now. I'm looking out my window and it's not raining here, but I'm not really too close to Miami Gardens. I'm looking at the weather app right now in Miami Gardens. And it says it's going to be about 88, 89 degrees, humid. It's going to feel like 98 degrees, and there's a 50% chance of rain. Maybe some of you are in the area. You can text me if it's raining right now. But yeah, rain probability at around 45%. There's going to be some wind gusts as well, 15. So weather might play a big role today. You know the Dolphins are going to be in their home whites. Seattle probably playing in their blue jerseys, their home blue jerseys. So to me today, the biggest factor in this game is going to be Miami's production offensively. Defensively, you understand what's at stake. The Miami Dolphins are going to have a hard time controlling Russell Wilson. Look, he protects the football, doesn't throw interceptions, and he really does excel when he gets out of the pocket. And he's probably a better player when he gets out of the pocket. And Miami, their pass rush was basically non-existent week 1 against the Patriots, and their pass rush was probably even worse in week 2 against the Buffalo Bills. But I'd say, you know, week 3, they were able to control Gardner Minshew. And I think that's really what you wanted to see from guys like Shaq Lawson and Emmanuel Ogba. They really emerged as play, maybe not playmakers, but they definitely emerged as much better players in week three. And obviously, right, the Jacksonville Jaguars are not as good as the Buffalo Bills and the New England Patriots. But look, all you can ask for week to week is improvement. And you saw that in terms of pass rush. But they're going to have their hands full today with this, with Russell Wilson and with the Seattle Seahawks playmakers all across the field. But the Miami Dolphins offensively are going to have to take advantage of a Seattle defense, which through week three has been abysmal. They're last in yards allowed at 497 per game, last in passing at 430 yards average per game, 31st in yards per completion at 8.5, 31st in yards per play at 6.6, and 29th in third down defense at 51.2%. And on top of that, Seattle has allowed a league high 1,492 yards this season. One of the biggest storylines so far of this season has been the Miami Dolphins' inability to incorporate guys like Matt Breida and Jordan Howard, running backs who you signed in the offseason, you paid or you traded for to come in and be playmakers out of the backfield. And out of nowhere, we get this guy, Myles Gaskin. He's emerged as your top running back. He's getting the most carries. He's getting the most production. And Matt Breida and Jordan Howard, other than Jordan Howard, who has three touchdowns, but every single one of those touchdowns, which is pretty funny actually, have all been for 1 yard carries. They've all been goal line carries on the 1 yard line. Matt Breida and Jordan Howard haven't done much. Let's see if this week Chan Gailey is able to figure out a way to get these guys into situations where they can make plays against a Seattle defense that is not good. You want to see a big game out of Devontae Parker. Obviously, you want to see Preston Williams, again, continue to hopefully elevate his game. And the unsung hero of this Miami Dolphins offense, Mike Gesicki, right? We want to see Mike Gesicki have another huge game. He didn't have tons of production against Jacksonville. He had a beautiful touchdown grab. But that game against Buffalo, it was the Mike Gesicki show offensively for the Miami Dolphins. He truly looked like he could be a serious playmaker in the NFL. And I really want to see Ryan Fitzpatrick just take it to this Seattle defense, which, by the way, is shorthanded already and have been really bad this season. And they're going to be shorthanded again. Starting safety Jamal Adams, I should say, and cornerback Quentin Dunbar, who are probably their two best offseason additions defensively, and arguably their two best players defensively, they were ruled out on Friday. So they're going to have to face Ryan Fitzpatrick and this Dolphins offense, which, in my opinion, is really in a groove right now, okay? Despite being 1-2, they're going to have to face Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Miami Dolphins without two of their best players defensively. And when those guys were playing this year already, they weren't good. So Miami truly has to come out. It's why I was stressing it earlier. Come out strong, firing in the first half, put points up on the board, because the Seahawks have had to travel a long ways away. They played against Dallas, and that defense was on the field for 80 snaps, which is a lot of snaps. They're fatigued. They're tired. They have to travel all the way down to South Florida. And they probably aren't going to get out to a hot start because of that. So Miami has to take advantage and put points up on the board quickly to avoid Russell Wilson even being able to come back in the second half and lead their team on a late game scoring drive to win the game. We'll talk more about this Dolphins-Seahawks matchup with Zach Duarte and Zach Krantz. They're both going to join the show coming up very shortly. Next segment will be Zach Krantz. Once again, Dolphins pregame show begins at the end of this show at 9 a.m. with Chris Whittingham and Channing Crowder. I'm Solana. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at AlexMSolana. Let's take a quick break here on the Dolphins Rewind Show. Zach Krantz joins us next here on The Joke.
Back to the Dolphins Rewind Show on AM 560, FM 96.5, HD2, The Joe, WQAM, and streaming on radio.com and the radio.com app.
The Dolphins Rewind Show continues here on 560 The Joe with Solana. Remember, Dolphins Rewind is backed by Morse, and you can get backed by Morse and save thousands. Visit edmoresawgrass.com for more information. We're going to talk to Zach Kranz here just a couple minutes. Zach Duarte will join us next segment as well here on the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show. By the way, last segment, we were talking about Russell Wilson just being a monster in close games. Somebody sent me this from NFL.com, and I think it just proves my point that the Dolphins really have to get out of any situation where Russell Wilson in the fourth quarter is going to have a chance to come down the field and win the game. You don't want this to be a close game late in the fourth quarter. Russell Wilson, 21 fourth quarter comebacks, 27 game-winning drives. On NFL.com, they call him the Comeback King. He's tied for the most fourth quarter comebacks with 21 and game-winning drives with 27 since entering the league in 2012, which includes postseasons. So yeah, don't play a close game with Russell Wilson today if you're the Miami Dolphins. I really quickly want to read something that Adam Beasley of the Miami Herald, he wrote on the Herald on Friday. And you can follow Adam Beasley on Twitter. He's one of my favorite Dolphins writers. All those guys do a good job. Safed Dean, Omar Kelly, Joe Shad, Barry Jackson, coach. He covers everything, right? All those guys do a really good job. It's titled, How the Underdog Dolphins Can Beat the Unbeaten Seahawks in 5 Not-So-Easy Steps. And I can't read too much of this because we're running out of time. And Zach Kranz is going to join us. But number one is throw, and throw some more. And then he goes through the Seahawks' just abysmal secondary and how they have terrible defensive numbers this year. Number two is let X be X. And he says the Dolphins have tried to take it slow with Xavien Howard. Since his return from major knee surgery, they limited his snaps in week one. And they put Noah Igbinoghene on Stephon Diggs in week two, which had little success. Regardless if Byron Jones plays today, he's dealing with that groin issue. The training wheels will probably need to come off for Xavien Howard. And I agree, okay? When you have guys like DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett on the other side of the field, I have Tyler Lockett in my fantasy league. I know how big of a stud he is, and DK Metcalf might be the most chiseled human being on this planet. There's weapons everywhere for Seattle. So you're gonna need X to really be his best. Number three, be more special than the Seahawks. He goes into how the Seahawks have the league's second best ranked special teams, and the Dolphins aren't far behind at fourth. Let's see if Jakeem Grant can get it going today. Number four, run to set up play action, not for yards. Look, we've talked about this run game. They've got to get more out of Matt Breida and Jordan Howard. And five, pray for heat. And yeah, we talked about it to start the show. Let's pray for some weather that will impact the Seahawks. I've been reading on Twitter that Russell Wilson's kryptonite is rain. So you know what? Maybe hopefully we get some rain. Once again, that was Adam Beasley of the Miami Herald. 5 not-so-easy steps for the Miami Dolphins to beat this really good Seattle Seahawks team. We're going to talk to Zach Duarte of the postgame show coming up next. But now we're going to talk to a good friend of mine, Zach Kranz. You hear him weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on 560 The Joe, this station right here with Joe Rose. You can also hear him once a week, and the schedule's kind of crazy for Zach in the Know, Zach, so I don't want to give out the wrong day. But I know this past week you and Nose were on, was it Wednesday or Thursday?
Thursday night, right. The plan behind all of these Zach and the Nose fantasy football shows were to go on 6 to 8 p.m. and then have 25 minutes until Thursday night kickoff.
Right.
But, you know, we do have Canes Hoops once in a while. We do have Hurricane Hotline once in a while. We do have intercom shows once in a while that need to play on those nights. So, yeah, we've been moved around, but it looks like depending on what happens with Canes Hoops, which is not going to start till probably the end of the year, it looks like Thursday nights from now on. Fingers are crossed, but it looks like we almost could say catch Zach in the Nose Thursday nights from now on, 6 to 8 p.m.
6 to 8 p.m. Follow him on Twitter at Zach Kranz. Again, 6 to 10 a.m. is where you hear him weekly on this station along with the Big Head with Joe Rose. Zach, am I crazy for thinking the Dolphins have a chance today against the Seahawks?
No, I don't think you're crazy. And of course, it's going to depend on two guys. And we saw them all week long, either on a bike, a stationary. It's Byron Jones and Xavien Howard. Xavien Howard is closer to being 100% than Byron Jones. Both guys expected to play, I'm sure. Whether they're going to play a little bit or a lot, I don't know. But you're going against Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, who are right now probably the two best or best duo in the league at wide receiver. And, oh, by the way, Russell Wilson throws them the ball. So, yeah, it's tough when you talk about those three guys. But the way the defense played against Jacksonville, and I know it's just Jacksonville, but the pass rush seemed to have woken up a little bit. If they get a little bit of pressure on Russell Wilson, the cornerbacks are playing and are relatively healthy. No, I don't think you're that far off by saying the Dolphins have a chance. Like, Fitzpatrick's playing good. So yeah. We're not talking about when are we starting Tua. It's more of how much Tua do you need to see this season, if any. But no, if Fitzpatrick doesn't have a Fitz-tragic game, the cornerbacks are relatively to fully healthy. Yeah, there's a chance. Now, is it a realistic chance? I don't know. Seattle's really good, but I'm not going to sit here and go, no. It's going to be a Seattle blowout. I don't think that. High-scoring game maybe, but not a blowout.
Yeah, it's going to be a high-scoring game just because you mentioned it. Fitzpatrick's playing well. This offense is clicking. I wouldn't say they're clicking on all cylinders, but they're clicking, especially the passing game, right? And Seattle's defense is not good, and their offense just puts up points. And Seattle's going to be without Jamal Adams. Like, they're missing – their defense was already bad. Like, their defense sucked already, and now they're missing two of their better defensive players. So it's just going to get worse for them. But, yeah, anytime you're going up against Russell Wilson and your matchup is Fitzpatrick and Russell Wilson, like, you shouldn't be too confident going into that game.
Listen, the Seahawks are giving up 28.7 points per game. It's a touchdown more than the Dolphins, to be honest with you. Yeah. The Seahawks have the worst pass defense in the NFL, and that's with Jamal Adams out there, who's probably one of the top two or three safeties in the league. And they give him 430.7 yards a game. We're not playing against the Baltimore defense of 2000 or that Tampa Bay Bears, whatever you want to say. We're talking about a team that is offensive-minded, that will beat you by scoring 42 points if they need to, but also giving up 38. So the difference is, can you get that one or two big stops in the end of the game or in the beginning of the game? Can the Dolphins do that? And I do think after last, or it'll end up being by the time kickoff today, about 10 days away from that Jacksonville game, if you could just play that sort of defense, that's great. Matt Ryan threw for 450 yards on this team, and Cam Newton threw for 400.
Yeah.
Fitzpatrick's a gunslinger, and if Devontae and those guys are out there playing well, this could be a shootout. It'll be fun for Dolphin fans to watch as long as they win.
What's up with this? I talk a lot about, you know, Matt Breida and Jordan Howard and, like, Myles Gaskin, right? Like, this revelation of Myles Gaskin. But, like, this could be the week, I mentioned it last segment, where you finally get some production out of those guys and put them into spaces where they can make plays, right? Like, that's what you want when you go out, you trade for Matt Breida, the fastest guy in the league. Jordan Howard, I wouldn't say he's, you know, this unbelievable playmaker, but you saw him in the past as somebody who's able to, when given space, when given the opportunity, he can find the end zone. I mean, he has three touchdowns this year, and it feels like he's ran for, what, minus 15 yards.
Right.
Like at some point, Chan Gailey's going to have to figure out a way, and this could be it, right? With a hurting Seattle defense, they're already abysmal. We just talked about it. This has to be the week where you figure out a way to get those guys into play or into opportunities to make plays.
Right. This is a measuring stick game, I guess you could say, for the Dolphins, because that offense, like you said, you need to figure out what the deal is with the running back. If you would have told me before the season that they were trading for Matt Breida, signing Jordan Howard, and Myles Gaskin was going to be the bell cow of this team through the first 3 weeks, I would have laughed at you like you're laughing now, because it just doesn't sound like that's the option. That's the answer. Yet it has been the last couple weeks. He's gotten the most touches. I'd love to see Matt Breida in getting more screen passes, bubble screens, tosses. You know, not necessarily running up the middle, but show that speed off. Like you said, he's not one of the fastest guys in the league by accident. Jordan Howard looks like he's been totally relegated to the goal line guy. When you get inside the 10-yard line, Jordan Howard goes in the game, Gaskin's out, no sign of Matt Breida. And it's like, Jordan Howard, you're right. I think one of the stats I saw after the Jacksonville game, one of the reporters down here said he could end the season with 16 touchdowns and 23 yards rushing.
Crazy.
And I was like, you got to be absolutely kidding me. Yet it looks like that's kind of what his position is. But the Gaskin thing to me still to this day, to game day against Seattle, to next week again, you know, it doesn't matter. It's still the most confusing thing to me about this offense, because Gaskin, I thought, would play the role of two guys got hurt, put Gaskin in instead. It's let's put our big free agent signing, our big trade in the offseason on the bench, and let's put Myles Gaskin in. It is the biggest question mark on the offense so far.
So we haven't talked to you on Dolphins Rewind yet. I think we're all happy with Ryan Fitzpatrick, but this question looms over Tua Tagovailoa. I know he was sick this week. He was doubtful or questionable for today's game. Ryan Clark of ESPN, he came out, and I'm pretty sure you guys played this on your show. I remember hearing it on the Joe Rose show. Again, we're talking to Zach Kranz, 6 to 10 a.m. weekdays on here on 560 The Joe, along with Joe Rose. He mentioned on ESPN after the Dolphins beat Jacksonville that Miami at this point should already be setting up plays and have packages to have Tua Tagovailoa periodically throughout games coming into the game so he can start getting his experience. A lot of people agree with that mindset. Look, we just said, both of us agree, Fitzpatrick is playing well. This offense seems to be clicking definitely in the passing game. But do you agree with that mindset that just find ways to put Tua on the field, because if he is your future, you want to see what he has already?
I'll tell you what, I disagree with Ryan Clark, and I disagree with fans that want that to happen for one reason only. He's not Pat White. He's not Taysom Hill. He's not one of these guys that you're bringing in there for special packages. This is the franchise quarterback of your team going forward. Everyone knows it in the organization. The starting quarterback today for our Dolphin team, Ryan Fitzpatrick, knows that also. He's come out and said it. He is grooming him to be the guy for next season. He is the franchise guy. I don't need to see him in a package where he runs some sort of wildcat or he's doing something. No, I want him in there quarterback when he's ready to be quarterback. And I'm not saying he's not ready now. He might be able to go out there today against Russell Wilson and be a great quarterback. But Brian Flores proved to all of us, all Dolphin fans in the entire NFL last year, that he's in it to win it. He wants to win games. He doesn't care about anything else. He tried out Josh Rosen for a couple games. And remember that famous quote, "I've seen enough." Ryan Fitzpatrick's back in there. Rosen doesn't give us a chance to win. When Tua is ready, when it's his team, I'm fine with it. Yes, I was as excited or more than most fans. Tank for Tua, the whole deal. The night of draft night, we had a virtual draft party, and I almost jumped out of the screen when I knew it was going to be him at five. I want him to be in. When he gets in there, it's him. It's no more put him in and then, oh, he had a bad game, let's put Fitzpatrick back in there. When he gets in there, that's it. The Fitzpatrick era is done. Thank you so much. You want to be a coach next year? Great. Whatever it is, he's done. So when it's ready, when the offensive line looks ready and the coaching staff is ready to put him in there and lock the door on Fitzpatrick, barring some crazy injury by Tua, that's what I'm okay with doing. And I'm telling you, you could go back to the tape, the old tape, the new tape, whatever you want. I have been all over the Tua train for over 18 months. I can't wait to see him play. I bought a Tua jersey.
Yes.
The last jersey I bought before that was Cam Wake, and before that, I think, was Randy McMichael. So I don't buy a lot of jerseys. But the day Tua was drafted, I bought the jersey. I'm excited. I bought my son a Tua toddler jersey.
Let's go.
I'm ready for Tua to be the quarterback. But if Brian Flores is not ready and Chan Gailey's not ready to put him in there full time, I don't want to see a Pat White package. I don't want to see a Taysom Hill package. I don't need that. When he's ready to be the franchise quarterback, I'll be ready to watch him on Sundays.
Yeah, Flores said we're one play away from him having to come in
right, and
take over this team. And it's true.
Right.
Like, and it may not even be a play. Look, with all the craziness surrounding COVID,
I'm not
trying to push that into the universe. But look, it's just a reality that we're all living with. And it could very well happen to the Miami Dolphins. By the way, the last jersey I ever bought, Zach, a Chad Henne jersey. And that's the only jersey I have right now. The only Miami Dolphins jersey that fits me, a 7 Chad Henne.
Yeah, I have a Sam Madison jersey somewhere in the garage, a Randy McMichael one that when I worked with O.J. McDuffie on the radio years and years ago, I wore it in one day. He taped up Michael instead of McMichael. He put McDuffie because that was his number also. So I would wear that around the studio with a taped thing that said McDuffie on it. And then Cam Wake. He was my favorite player for years. Yeah. I loved him. And then now it's Tua. So now you can understand if you don't follow me on social media or anyone on the station on social media, I want Tua as much or more than anyone, but I want it when it's right, when the time is right. Yeah, I know Justin Herbert's playing, and I know that Joe Burrow is out there playing, and guess what? Tua will be out there playing sooner rather than later, and like you said, I hope it doesn't come to fruition where COVID takes over this team or Ryan Fitzpatrick gets hurt, but when something happens, Tua will be ready, and then I'll be ready for him.
You should follow this man on Twitter, at Zach Kranz. Hear him 6 to 10 a.m. weekdays right here on 560 The Joe, and again, Thursday night, 6 to 8, Zach and the Nose. Get your fantasy squads ready with Zach Kranz. Zach, I really appreciate you joining the Dolphins Rewind Show, man.
Alex, anytime for you, buddy.
All right, let's take a quick break. Dolphins Rewind continues next here on The Joe.
Welcome back to the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show on AM 560, FM 96.5, HD2, The Joe, WQAM, and streaming on radio.com and the radio.com app.
Dolphins Rewind continues here on 560 The Joe. Get backed by Morse and save thousands. Visit edmoresawgrass.com for more information. I'm Solana. Coming up in less than 20 minutes, it is Chris Whittingham and Channing Crowder on the Miami Dolphins pregame show. Seahawks and Dolphins kickoff 1 p.m. from Hard Rock Stadium. But now we'll talk to the guy who has joined us quite a bit. I'm going to have to start paying you, Duarte, for all the times you're coming on the Dolphins Rewind show. So talk to Zach Krantz last segment. It's the show with the Zachs. And I asked him the same question I'm going to ask you here to start off this interview. Am I crazy for thinking, am I being a homer? I know you accuse me of being a homer with the Heat, and sometimes I get carried away with the Dolphins. But I'm going to ask you objectively, do the Dolphins actually have a chance to beat the Seahawks today? Because I think they do.
Yeah, I mean, look, anytime you have a team coming from west to east, you know, all those statistics you have there, I don't have them in front of me, but, you know, it's pretty hard for teams coming west to east to win football games. Now, it's totally different because there won't actually be a crowd there, so, you know, that has a little something to do with it. Who knows what the weather is going to be today in terms of, is it going to rain? Is the sun going to be out? Because you always want that sun to be out to give you that home field advantage. But, you know, you look at the three games that Seattle's played, with the exception of the Falcons' 38-25 game to start the season, and even that was a close game throughout the duration of the game. There are one-score games. The Patriot game, that came down to a goal line stand. The Cowboys last week, 38-31. And if you remember last year, Seattle, every single game, it came down to the final possession. So I absolutely agree with you, man. The Dolphins, in terms of offensive firepower, they can score. It's just a matter of, can their defense stop anybody?
Yeah, and obviously, I mean, we don't know yet, but Byron Jones, it's not looking great for him to play. And Xavien Howard, he's been dealing with the injury bug as well. You mentioned this, by the way, last week on the show, where Russell Wilson, every single game, it seems like, he's the reverse of Philip Rivers, right? There's the joke of Philip Rivers, no matter what team he's on now, it's known, right? It doesn't matter if he's a Charger or if he's a Colt. At the end of the game, he's going to have one timeout. His team's going to be down a touchdown, and he has to go the length of the field to tie or win the game. Like, that has been Philip Rivers' entire career. Russell Wilson's the other way around, though. Russell Wilson is late in the game. He's going to get you a touchdown. That's it. He doesn't have to go the length of the field without a timeout. He's just going to go and win you the game, and he's done that consistently now for the Seahawks. And you mentioned it last week. They play close games, but when you have Russell Wilson, you feel pretty good about playing close games. It's what I've been talking about this entire show today, Zach. The Dolphins last week against the Jaguars around Thursday Night Football, they came out three consecutive scoring drives to start the game. They have to come out and get points on the board quickly in the first quarter to give themselves a chance later on once the Seahawks, you know, they get acclimated with the weather or whatever's going on.
Yeah, look, I agree. I mean, Russell Wilson is off to just a fantastic start, which, by the way, I had him in fantasy last year, and he did not put up these kind of numbers, so I'm a little upset about that. But that being said, I mean, 14 touchdowns, one interception, almost 1,000 yards already in three games. I mean, he has to be, maybe him and Patrick Mahomes, the front runners for MVP through three games. But yeah, you look, if you're the Dolphins, you got to, I agree with you, you got to put up points early, because if you're doing this thing where you did it against New England, you're trying to score points in the second half and come from behind. Same thing against Buffalo. You know, you really want to get off to a fast start like they did last week. You mentioned it there, first three drive points on the board, and they were really impressive drives, 12 plays, I think 10 plays on the second drive. Really sustaining drives, keeping your defense off the field. You know, with all due respect to Brian Flores, the defense right now is kind of your weak spot, and you need to keep them off the field as much as possible. They did a good job last week against Jacksonville, but let's throw a giant grain of salt there. It is Jacksonville. It's Gardner Minshew. You know, this is Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks, who, I mean, they're just putting up points. They've obviously scored 35 or more points every single week. And I will tell you this, I don't think that they won't do that again this week. But I'm also not going to go out here and say I don't think the Dolphins can put up points either, because they've absolutely shown that they can score in the last, you know, 12 weeks combined of last year and this year. The offense has been doing much, much better. They scored 31 points last week, if I'm not mistaken. And I have Ryan Fitzpatrick starting in fantasy this week, man. Like, I absolutely believe that the Dolphins offense will put up points because the Seahawks defense is not that great, at least. They haven't been through the first three games this season. So, look, I agree. I think they have a shot. They need to be explosive early. They need to not be doing this thing where it's 21-3 in the third quarter and they're trying to come from behind. because you know you're just putting yourself in a bad spot there. But yeah, look, this is a tough matchup, but I think this is going to also tell you kind of where the Dolphins are, right? Like, we've seen them the first three games. They held, they hung around with New England. They hung around with Buffalo. They pretty easily dismantled Jacksonville, who is probably going to be one of the teams selecting in the top five of the draft. So let's see where the Dolphins line up, right? This is going to be one of these measuring stick games for Miami.
We're talking to Zach Duarte. He's the Miami Dolphins post-game host and the Miami Hurricanes post-game host, by the way. They have a pretty big game coming up next week against Clemson. You'll hear him later on after the game around, what, like 4:15, 4:30 here.
Weather pending.
Yep, weather permitting on 560.
Lightning delay pending.
The Joe, don't put that into the universe, man. Do not put that into the universe. for your sake, by the way, I'll be at home. Like, whatever, I'll be at home. I'll be right. Good. I guess you'll be at home too. I don't know if
at home. Yeah, last week I had to come in to do the post game show because, yeah, I have other people that live at my house, and I can't be doing a post game show at 12 o'clock at night. You know, yeah. So I came into the studio last week, but yeah, man, watch the game from home, do the show from home.
Yeah, not bad.
Stay home when I'm done. Right,
not bad, man. Yeah, I'm doing the show from home today as well. So I'm kind of digging it, man. I've been going into the studio since March, since COVID really started to impact us, and on the Hawk and Crowder show, and it feels good to wake up. I'm in my boxers. I'm just hanging out.
I was going to ask you, like, are you fully clothed right now? Like, what are we talking about?
Not fully clothed. I mean, I'm in my boxers. I'm in my t-shirt. Yeah, I'm wearing my Heat jersey. The Heat play tonight. It's a good time. It's a good time to be a South Florida sports fan. By the way, follow Zach at Duarte Party. At Duarte Party. What was that? Sorry, you broke up.
I keep it real.
You do. Twitter. Yeah, he does. if you're looking for somebody who doesn't keep it real and who put a positive spin on everything, follow me at Alex M. Solana.
It's so true.
Yeah.
It's so true.
It is weird, though. Like, I was thinking about it, Zach, how if you and I had a conversation in May, it would have just totally been, yeah, like, it's going to be a couple, maybe a year until football is back or sports are back. And now you look around, the Miami Heat are in the NBA Finals. I know it's not going well for them right now. I understand that. Injuries are playing a huge factor in that. But the Miami Heat are in the NBA Finals. The Miami Marlins just won a playoff series. And the Miami Dolphins, things are looking up for them. And the Miami Hurricanes are undefeated, ranked 8th in the nation.
Yep.
Like, it is unbelievable how 3 months have made so, or maybe not 3 months. We're in October now, so 4 or 5 months. But, you know, what difference it makes compared to how you and I would have been talking in May or June, right? Like, it was totally just, like, just, there's no chance football is going to be played. There's no chance college football. The NBA is done as well. Like, what an insane couple of months we've had now here in South Florida.
It's funny because I started dating somebody new in April.
Right. Okay.
And, you know, April, we were locked down. Like, there was no sports. So I was available every day. And she, I've had to kind of say, hey, like, I'm back in the rotation now. Then she's not a sports person. So I'm like, well, there's a Marlins game today at 2. There's a Heat game today at 9. Like, think about last week, right? Thursday night Dolphins. Friday night is when the Marlins clinched and the Heat lost, I think, right. Game 5. Saturday was the Hurricanes dismantling of FSU. And then Sunday, the Heat clinched. And I'm like, I'm having to explain to her, like, hey, I know you're not used to this, but I'm not going to be available. But yeah, look, it's good to be having these conversations, but it's also good to be having these conversations when these teams are relevant. Because I think it was 2 years ago, Alex, where every team was a bottom feeder. Like, even the Hurricanes were struggling to get to 500. The Dolphins, they were the laughing stock of the league. Where now Adam Gase and the Jets are the laughing stock of the league. The Heat were the Heat 2 years ago? They were really, I think they barely made the playoffs 2 years ago.
Yeah, it was the first round exit to Philly, and then the year before that was the 32-11 turnaround. But still, like, there was very little light at the end of the tunnel for any of these teams 2 years ago.
Right. No, and here we are, and you know, whether or not the Dolphins are a playoff team or not, they're at least relevant, and they're on the upswing. We can all agree that the Miami Dolphins are trajecting in the right direction. It looks like the Miami Hurricanes are trending in the right direction. The Heat are in the NBA Finals, which, I mean, I don't know how many people besides you actually called that one out. The Marlins are in the playoffs. The Panthers, yeah, they've been the same team for like 20 years. So yeah,
I don't want to throw shade at the Panthers because I feel like they try to do everything right, and they make all the right moves. It just doesn't pan out for them right on the ice. But back to this game quickly because we are running out of time. Again, you'll hear this guy, Zach Duarte. Follow him on Twitter at Duarte Party. You'll hear him tonight on the post game show here on 560 The Joe WQAM. So Ryan Clark, I asked Zach Krantz the same thing. Ryan Clark of ESPN, he mentioned, you know, that the Dolphins should already have Tua in the game. They mm-hmm. should have packages set up for him, throw him in, have situational sets where Tua comes in and can try to make stuff happen. Because basically what the point he was trying to make was that if you just wait until the Dolphins are out of the playoff race and then you throw Tua in to just start from scratch and he has zero experience, that could actually hurt his development. And he was saying this way, you put him into position, you kind of play situational football with Tua Tagovailoa. That way he's at least getting some experience. And I disagree with that because I don't think, and Zach Krantz made a good point, he's not Pat White. You know, right. he's not one of these guys who can come in and make these huge plays for you just with his feet. And he's not Taysom Hill. And right. So I disagree, but I do think there's something to be said where, like last week, right? You're beating Jacksonville. In the fourth quarter, the game was essentially over. Why not just give him a couple snaps? That way he can at least get some sort of idea of how quick the game is going to be for him in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't agree with creating packages for Tua. Like when you think of how he entered his collegiate career, he came into the middle of the national championship game. You had never heard of him before that. Alabama wasn't running packages for Tua Tagovailoa, so I don't think the Dolphins need to do that. The other thing that you need to consider here is, you know, we talked about this already the last couple of weeks, a truncated training camp, no preseason games, still probably not 100%. Maybe he's 95, 96, whatever. Like, I am totally okay with the idea of him not playing at all this year. Now, in your scenario, I got no problem with him taking end of game snaps. No problem whatsoever. But I don't need to force feed Tua Tagovailoa into the game plan because he's the quarterback of the future. There's no rush on this to me. This Dolphins team is not expected to compete for a playoff spot this year. Maybe you give him a start or two at the end of the year. I think that the Chiefs did that with Patrick Mahomes, if I'm not mistaken. They sat him the entire first year. They didn't put him in packages. I think he got a start in the last or the second to last game of the season. And then the next season, the reins were handed over to Mahomes. I see a very similar situation here where the Dolphins don't play Tua Tagovailoa unless they're forced to all season long. Or it's an end of game scenario where it's 40-10 and he gets some snaps. But yeah, there's no part of me that wants to see Tua on the field unless he's at the quarterback position, because that's just an opportunity for an injury. And like, could you imagine the blowback if he's out there running a route and he gets clipped in the knee and he tears an ACL? Can you imagine the narrative on that? Like, that is just something I would not want to face if I was Brian Flores.
I trust Flores. Like, I trust for whatever reason. I understand last year the first 10 weeks were just brutal, right? It was tough to be a Dolphins fan last year. And then towards the end of the year, you picked up 5 wins. They go out, they get Tua Tagovailoa, they bring in the guy that we all wanted last year, and for whatever reason, they're 1-2 right now, they lost to their two division rivals, but for whatever reason, I trust Brian Flores, I trust this coaching staff. There's something different about what's going on now with the Dolphins than what I grew up seeing, mm-hmm. and we've seen over the better half of the past 2 decades.
No, you're 1,000% right. I trust Brian Flores, which is why I think Brian Flores thinks the exact same thing that I just said. There is a long-term plan here in place, and part of that plan was drafting a quarterback in the offseason and probably having him. That's why Ryan Fitzpatrick was signed to a 2-year deal. He is winning you football games. He's out there putting his body on the line. He's doing things well. Obviously, he's going to have those Ryan Fitzpatrick moments, but he's on your team. You know, he's doing the right things in and out of the locker room, on and off the field, and I got no problem with him being the quarterback of this team right now. And I think Brian Flores feels the exact same way. But I agree. I trust Brian Flores. And if they were to develop a package for Tua, sure. But, you know, any risk of injury to him is, in my opinion, not a good idea at this point.
He's Zach Duarte. Follow him at Duarte Party on Twitter. You'll hear him today around 4:30, weather permitting again, on the Miami Dolphins postgame show and the Miami Dolphins radio network. Zach, appreciate it, man.
Alex, you got it, man. Let's hope for a W today.
Thanks again to Zach Duarte and Zach Krantz. Thank you for listening to the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show. I'm Solana again, at Alex M. Solana on Twitter and Instagram is how you can connect with me on all those social media platforms. Dolphins Rewind will be back next Sunday right here, 8 a.m., just like every other week during the Miami Dolphins season. Coming up next, though, it's Miami Dolphins football. Chris Whittingham and Channing Crowder with the pregame show here on 560 The Joke.